Shan was a little bit annoyed at me yesterday because it was my birthday. And
she didn't tell me.
I didn't tell her.
Honestly, I was like, is it your birthday? But I don't tell people about my... Well, I try not to. I don't like celebrating birthdays.
I find it awkward because it feels like you're being like...
Center of attention.
It's my birthday.
Yeah,
like,
I have some people... I know some people and they're like, it's my birthday month. I'm like...
Too far, babe.
Yeah, too... No.
Hey, do you know what? If that makes you happy,
yeah,
go
if you
want to
celebrate your birthday month, go for it. But like, I don't like being... attention. Yeah. I don't really like, I don't know what to do with myself when people sing happy birthday. I'm like, okay.
My mum sent me like probably 6 voice notes yesterday singing happy birthday.
Did she? Oh, that's so cute.
I'd play one right now, but I'm using my phone to record.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she wouldn't be too pleased about you showing everyone.
I don't think she'd care.
Oh, really?
No. She'd be like, yeah, show people.
Oh, really? She'd be like, show everyone my sing. Record label open.
But yeah, when I came in today, Shannon got me a card and a plant and blown up some balloons.
Yeah, and oh, I need to show you the video of Milo going crazy about those balloons. It was so cute. It was just... I'm like, okay.
He's not bothered about him now.
No, he's not. I desensitized him.
That's good.
I was like, every time I blew up a balloon, I threw his ball. So he was more bothered about the ball than the balloon. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, when you've got an anxious little cockapoo, it just becomes part of your daily routine, desensitizing him to everything.
Yeah. So cockapoos are very cockatoos.
Cockatoo? I call him my cockatoo. I'm like, my little cockatoo. No, but he's scared of everything. He's scared of buses as well. And he's just a little anxious darling, and he's got a sensitive stomach. So... Yeah. There's just a lot going on
with
him.
He's having a tough time.
He's having an hard day.
He is. Bless him.
I know.
My little Nellie's a very sensitive soul.
She isn't. She's very gentle, though, isn't she? Like, very...
When Shan first came to mind, she, like... Because she's not the type of dog that you can go up to with your hands out and stroke her.
No, you got to
give
her
time. When you first meet her. So she, like, came out of her bed and then she went and sat in a corner on the sofa away from Shan, and then she was just, like, staring at us.
Yeah.
And then she eventually, like...
She made her way
closer
ever so slowly, didn't she? At first, I was like, I'm not going to give her direct eye contact. I'm just going to let her sniff me. And then we were besties.
Yeah.
Then we were best friends.
She loved you after that.
Oh, my little dad, I miss her.
I know.
Need to come visit her. Visit her and all of my animal friends.
Yeah.
I feel like Snow White when I'm at your house.
I know.
Like, I expect, like, birds and parrots to come fly down. I'm like, oh.
Because if you didn't know, I have 3 dogs and 6 cats. So
6 kitty cats.
Yeah. They're all very loving.
They are very, very loving animals. Like, Milo's just more like, yeah, give me a stroke, throw my ball and I'll see you later, love. Like, he don't want to sit on me ever. He don't want to sit really near me. He's just an independent guy. And yours are also, give me love, give me kisses.
Mine are opposite of independent.
Yeah, but that's sweet, though.
Yeah.
I think you want what you don't have, don't you? Like,
I wouldn't have it any other way.
No.
I love them for it.
I know, and to be fair, I couldn't have Milo on me all the time, so I do think we both even each other out.
Yes.
Aw.
That's so cute.
Miss them all, I know.
Anyway, welcome to today's episode of Nail Tech Natters, the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Liv.
I'm Shan.
And today's episode is going to be Not Everything Is As It Seems, which sounds very ominous.
It does. It does. I bet people clicking on that like, what do they mean?
Yeah.
We're going to tell you what we mean.
Yes. It's something that I have been struggling with at the moment, just in life. So it's something that I really want to talk about, and I think it'll be good to hear from you because you're not struggling with it
at the moment. But I think it's good because I think everybody goes through this feeling, or they've either already had the feeling, so a lot of people can relate to
100%
what it is we're gonna talk about.
Yeah, so basically we want to talk about how not everything is as it seems on social media, and it's mainly just a highlight reel.
Yeah. Everything looks perfect and it ain't.
Yeah.
I think that's been going around a lot at the minute on Nail TikTok, the good old Nail TikTok. I think a lot of people have been doing videos about, oh, let's show positivity and let's, you know, maybe show the side that isn't as real. I know you've done a video on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a video on it, and it's just very... spoken about.
It is, yeah. I think that woman that's been, I don't want to give her any attention, so I'm not gonna say the handle.
No.
if you don't know about her, good. she's caused a bit of a scene.
Yeah, but it's rage bait. That's all it is.
It is, yeah. I think it's sad.
Yeah.
That it's gone that way.
I do.
But yeah, I did a video recently talking about just about how not everything is perfect, and not everyone chooses to show you the negatives or the bad sets of nails.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't choose to show that. And when I posted that video, I had so many people message me. Like, I'm not joking, probably like a good 10 people were like, I'm so glad that you've like spoken about this, because it's something that I'm really struggling with at the moment, and like I'm glad that you've just been honest. And because I'm trying to do right now with my social media is really move in a direction of just creating content that is normal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need my videos to look perfect.
No.
I don't need them to be aesthetically pleasing. I just need it to be what I want it to be.
So did you worry about that then?
Yeah.
Did you worry about your videos being aesthetic and you wanted it to look a certain way?
Yeah, because of what I'd seen on social media, 100%.
Yeah.
I think that, like, you're just constantly fed this content that is... It's, you know, like a close-up angle of a nail, and it's, like, people doing these, like, really, like, sleek and minimalistic manicures. And when your content doesn't look like that, you feel like... your content's not going to do as well.
Yeah.
And I think it is really sad that recently I've noticed a dip in my engagement and a dip in my views, and I do think it is because I'm being a little bit less bothered about that side of things.
Yeah.
And I do think it's sad that it is that way, and it's just been getting me down.
So in regards to your noticing your viewers and thingy go down, are you thinking that there's a specific reason why to that?
I think it's like multiple reasons. I think that recently I've been struggling with like knowing what direction I want to go in.
Yeah.
So maybe like my content's changing a little bit.
Yeah.
So
I have noticed a little change in your content.
Yeah.
But in a...
What change have you seen?
I've seen that you're making it a bit more personal to you.
Yeah.
I think that your content... Your content...
Frog in our throat.
I know, literally. It's because we know we're getting deep, and I've just had a cuppa. So yeah. they always make me throat a bit dry. But... I have noticed that you've gone from... When I first saw you, your content was so structured in such a good way.
Mm.
So structured. Like, somebody looking at your page instantly thinks, because I know I thought it, this girl's got it figured out.
Yeah.
She, like, she knows exactly what she's doing. And I think that's probably why when you posted that video, you got a lot of comments, because it probably made a lot of people think, God, if Liv's feeling like that, then it's normal for me to feel like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I've noticed you've done a lot more... chattier videos and just being more open about stuff in a good way, because I think you're probably the most hardworking person I've ever met, like even more than me. Like I don't
think that I am though.
No,
like...
but I see it, Liv. Trust me. Like I think I was talking to Oliver the other day, and he was like, "How's podcast going?" I was like, Liv does the majority of the hard work. I said, I just sit and edit a few nice things on Canva.
That's
I said, Liv
true.
Does all the editing and stuff. No, and I know you're going to say that, but you are honestly such a hard worker.
Yeah, but like it's different. Like I don't have as many clients as you do. So I have the time to like do stuff like that. Your client base is a lot bigger than mine.
Yeah, so it's
definitely.
Like you focus, I think your focus is more on the social media, which you've said you eventually want to go to that, so that's why that is. Whereas I think with you, what it is you really want things to be perfect because you want to help as many people as you can.
Yeah.
And I think so then with your content always being how it's, like, let's be honest, your content, your camera's always facing the nails.
Yeah.
My camera's always facing me.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
And I'm starting to notice that you're turning the camera a little bit more to yourself.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, because I think people know Liv the nail tech side of it.
Mm.
That now I think people probably want to get to know you more, which is why that's been so well received, that video, because people are probably like, oh wow. And it's not that there's anything against, you know, filming the nail content, but I think when you see a dip, you take it so personally, because
it's hard not to.
Yeah, you have a real connection with your social media, which is amazing, and it's why you've done so well. But then there's also the negative side to it, where you are noticing every little dip and change, whereas I don't. Mm. I, like you've said to me before, you don't really comment back on your TikTok posts, and I said to you, it's because I will post a video.
Oh, what, you don't comment. Yeah.
I don't comment back to mine, whereas you are literally, as soon as someone mm-hmm. comments, you're straight away, which is probably what I should do. But in regards to how connected you are to it,
yeah.
yours is like, you are so connected and so present on your social media to help as many people as you can. Whereas my view of it is, I know that if I'm on social media too much and I think into things, it gets too much for me.
Yeah.
So as soon as I post a video, I come off it for even like 24 hours and yeah. then later on I'll reply. Whereas you're very in it there and then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I am very, like, I think almost to a fault present on social media. But it doesn't often affect me. Like, the way that I'm feeling right now isn't something that I feel a lot. It's like,
yeah,
most of the time I really don't care. Like, it's just, if a video does well or it does shit, it doesn't matter.
No.
But I think, like, what the difference in right now and how I'm feeling is, first of all, like, the comparison to, like, what other people are doing, but also the fact that my dip in engagement has been very, like, consistently low recently. And it's not low, like, by any means. Like, it's still good, but compared
to what you used to. Yeah.
It was just, it's, like, just been consistently low. So I'm, like, then that makes me question, like, am I not making the right content? Like,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, pardon me. That one slipped out.
It slipped out.
Sorry about that.
I'll have to make that one of the teaser clips first. I just like... You gotta keep that in, that's funny.
So, yeah, what was I saying? My views are consistently low. And I think what I've done is I've pivoted from creating, because everything that I do on social media, I do because I want to help people.
Yeah.
It's not just for my own personal gain. I gain from it because I make money from it.
Yeah.
But that's not what it's for. Before I made money, I still enjoyed doing it and I still love doing it.
Yeah.
The money is just an added bonus. So everything that I do on social media is because I want to help as many people as I can. And I think what I've done is I've pivoted from helping in the practical sense. Mm-hmm. So like the how to do this and how to do that, like the tutorials,
yes.
like the prep tutorials and the builder gel application tutorials and stuff like that. I've pivoted from that to more of like the, like maybe preachy.
Yeah.
Do you know, like more like just talking about how I'm feeling and
yeah.
that side of things, and then that content maybe doesn't do as well, but I think that it has more of an impact on the people that it does relate to.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, because that is exactly how I see my content.
Yeah.
Not a single video, apart from the little funny ones that I've pinned at the top of my page, you know, it's like I just sing along to a little lyric. They've done really well.
Like the trending ones.
Yeah. However, I've never had a day in the life or any other video do like how well yours have done, you know, where they've had over like 200k and stuff. And I have thought that before. I've thought to myself, it's because I'm not creating that kind of content that will go viral, like the prep or like, you know, the really intricate videos you've done before. And I've looked at that and I've thought, it's the case of, I've got two options. I either create this kind of content that's going to go viral and I don't really enjoy doing it, or I create this content that maximum it reaches is like, I might get like, you know, 20-30k on a video, which obviously is still really good, and I'm still so grateful for it, but that's as viral as it will go. But it helps people, like the engagement on my content is a lot higher, so I know what you mean in regards to the content that you're doing now is getting lower viewers, but it's helping and engaging more people, kind of thing.
I think my content before was not only tailored to nail techs, but also to the average person.
Yeah.
Like, it was enjoyable for just somebody to watch because it was satisfying, or because, I don't know, it was just a fun watch, like my day in the life. So
people
just,
like being nosy. Yeah.
Whereas now, I think that the things that I'm talking about are tailored so much more to nail techs that pool of viewers and people that are going to watch it or come across it is so much lower and so much smaller.
Oh god, yeah.
Because when you think about the amount of nail techs that are out there compared to the amount of people on social media, it's nothing.
I know,
it's
there's literally only so far you can go with social media for nail techs, because I watch, I don't know if you watch Hannah Lowther on TikTok or Instagram, she does musical theatre, I absolutely love her.
I love her.
And she has got like over 1 million on TikTok, I believe, and a lot on Instagram. And I was thinking to myself, really, you wouldn't actually think theatre, she would get that big of a following, because really, if you just honed it down to just theatre kids, there's a lot, but there's not that many.
Not that many.
But because like me, people like me and you, we're not in theatre, but we still enjoy her content because it's so cool seeing the life stuff. Whereas if she started filming videos just in front of a camera saying, here's what I do at an audition, I'm not going to watch that because I don't care about that. No. I care about the fun. So it's kind of like looking at it like that. So with your...
That's a really good comparison. I think like comparing it to another industry is really good.
Yeah. And I think that you probably would, you get more views if you did a certain kind of content, but maybe that's not what you're wanting to do now. So you're fighting against yourself. Like, I don't really know what I want to do in that way.
Yeah, I think because I've gone from... the views that I've had and the engagement that I've had, and it's dipped so much, it's hard to not feel like I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like with this community that I'm wanting to build, you know, my membership, my subscription, I want my content to reach the people that need it.
Mm.
I don't just want my content to necessarily reach the average person that's just enjoying watching it.
Yeah, I think it's because you want to help people.
Yeah,
you don't care. Like, me and you, I think if I'm okay to say this in your perspective as well, we're not in this for the money side of things. We genuinely want to help people because we've both been in a situation where we are both... like anxious, like we've struggled before and everything, and we've grown what we've grown, and we just want to help people do that because we don't want people feeling how we used to feel.
Yeah.
Whereas if we were in this for the money, we know our content and everything
so
we do
different.
Would be so different. Like even this podcast, like we get nothing. So far, we get nothing from this. Literally, this is just us doing it because we want to help.
Yeah.
If it was in a way to get money, we probably wouldn't even do this. We'd have done subscriptions and all this other stuff, like starting with, like, we want to do this sort of stuff because we want to help people. And unfortunately, with wanting to help people, I do think from social media side of things does limit
it does.
You as a creator.
Yeah, it does, because
it's
know,
more
like,
specific.
Yeah, it's more specific. Mm. Yeah, it's more niche almost.
Yes.
Like, you're not, I don't know, like there's a girl that pops up on my For You page a lot. I think I follow her, but she, like, pretty much every video she does is like a close up of a thumb.
Mm.
And she's like doing like this like really incredible like manicure that's like very like perfect and like concise, and like everyone is going to enjoy watching that.
Oh god, yeah,
because it's
satisfying
and it's enjoyable to watch and it's relaxing to watch.
Yeah,
but that sort of content is also boring to make.
Yeah, so I could like, I never, like, when I put videos up, tell me what content you want to see, every single comment is, how do you infill your builder gel, how do you do a French? I'm like, guys, no, I don't want it to be me doing my nails. Like, I want it to be, what do you want me to talk about, or what do you want me to review, or something like that. And I do think it is hard. So would you say then that you, like, why do you, what's making you want to change your content from all this stuff that's been getting loads of views to something that is like probably going to reach a smaller audience? Like, why are you wanting to change it?
I think because I'm like coming to realize that other content doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That I'm just like, what am I adding? Do you know what I mean? Like, like, it's fun to make. Like, I enjoy making my day in the life, and I do enjoy making, like, my, you know, tutorials and stuff, like my prep videos or whatever. But I think, like, I don't know, it's hard to, I think it's just like, I'm just like, I've gradually changed.
Yeah.
I've just changed.
Yeah, you.
I don't think there's any other explanation for it.
No, you've just changed the kind of things that you feel maybe a bit more passionate about and stuff that you actually want to do, which is so normal. And I think that, like, somebody listening to this might think, but if they're doing well, I don't get why you wouldn't just film the video, and it's so easy. But honestly, like, filming, it is easy to just press play and pretend, but it's difficult. Like,
you've got to enjoy what you're making.
Yeah, like what I said to you when you first got here, I tried to film a day in the life the other day and I literally got to dinner time and I was like, you know what, sack this off. Yeah. Like, I'm forgetting to film everything, like, and then it just makes you angry, doesn't
and
it?
And then that's a really good point that you make, actually, because then Shan goes to me, she goes, I don't know how you do your day in the lives. And I said to her, you don't see the amount of day in the lives that I start filming and I don't upload or I don't finish.
Yeah. But then leading from that, you could also say that girl with the thumb video, you don't know how many times she had to reapply her base colour or to swipe it off and do it again, like,
or how many times she had to reset her camera.
Exactly. And this is why I think this episode is probably one of the most important we'll probably ever do, because this kind of thing, if you are struggling with it, can make you want to stop your business.
It really
can literally make you want to go, you know what, it ain't worth it, because the mental side of it is so much more. Like, if you were struggling with your attention, there's practical things, there's courses you can go on, there's products you can change, there's videos you can watch to help you out with that. When it's in here, I'm pointing to my brain, by the way, for those that are watching on YouTube, when it's the mental side of it, tiny small little brain, it's harder to how do you change that? You can't. You've got to do the own personal work in yourself, and
you don't know. At the end of the day, it's difficult to understand the steps you need to take to implement to make it better, like to make that side of it better. Whereas, like you said, if it's like a practical problem that you're having, it's easy. Like, you can go on TikTok and you can be like, how do I do this, or how do I fix this, and a video will come up that will help you. Maybe that's why I want to create the content I'm creating, because then it's sort of like filling a gap.
I
think your content fills a gap. I don't see anybody else doing what you do.
Yeah, but I won't lie, lately the amount of times I've set up my tripod at the end of the day to film a video, started and just deleted it and been like, I feel like I am running out of, because that's it with me, I'm running out of content ideas.
Yeah.
Like, there's only so much I can sit and talk about, and also there's only going to be so long people want to sit and listen to every video of me talking. And so,
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, but I think because we all think into our own content. Yeah. Like, I'll be honest, I've got a lot better at thinking into my own content now. Like, apart from that side of it where I'm struggling for content ideas at the minute, I've still got loads in my drafts that I'm ready to post. You know, I've got little things here and there that I think, oh, I'll do that. But majority of the time, lately, especially probably since January, I am not struggling with the mental side of that. However, you're the other side, which you've started worrying about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of people probably resonated with your video, is that you would probably be the last person people would expect, because you come across so confident and your work's like 10 out of 10 every time.
Yeah, I think that's something that I've been thinking about recently as well, because I was talking to my friend Sophie, who owns the Nail Story Co.
Oh, yes.
She's so lovely, by the way. I love her.
Does she do those cards?
Yeah, she does, like, consultation cards and the cards
I think
that
she messaged me, because she said she was your friend, so we were having a little chat.
She's
so
lovely. I'm sure she won't, like, mind me saying this, but we were just messaging back and forth about how we were feeling and stuff, and she'd said to me, she was like, you're somebody that just looks like you're doing
got it all figured out.
And I'm like, I really don't want to come across that way, because it's so unbelievably far from the truth.
Yeah, but when you first started filming that content, maybe that was your aim and you didn't really know it, that you wanted it to look like you had it all together. And now you're really connecting more with yourself, and you've got to that stage in your business where you're like, actually, you know what, I want it to be more me. And now you're thinking, well, that is showing that I'm like that, but I'm not like that. And you're maybe not ashamed of showing that you're like not like that.
Yeah, like, maybe I've just gotten more comfortable in myself.
Yeah, but I think probably a lot of people listening have content crisis, or they just don't know what to film, or they just don't feel like they're good enough as a nail tech. Because I saw a quote the other day, and it wasn't anything to do with nails, but it was saying that we weren't meant to see our faces as much as we do. We were never meant to see our faces, really, in life.
Did you share it? Or did I see it somewhere else? Maybe we both saw the same video or something.
Because really, if you think about it, if we were back in caveman days, there were no mirrors. You know, they probably saw the face in a puddle and that were it. Like, apart from that, we were never meant to see our own faces this much, which is why girls struggle with self-confidence, like hating themselves, there's bullying, there's all this stuff. And same in regards to this, we were never meant to see all of these other nail techs. As a nail tech, you are meant to do your clients, and that is it.
Yeah.
Your clients come, you do the nails, you get your wage, you end the day, and you do it again. There was never really ever meant to be the social media side of it because of this reason, because we all, it's in our bones, we compare our lives, yep. We think, am I doing enough? Am I going to lose this person? Like, it's, there's so much going on, and it's impossible to keep up to.
Yep.
And then I think people then wonder why they end up in a rut, or they end up burning out, or they end up giving up, because it's literally like, I can't handle it anymore.
No, it's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you think about how, like, even 10 years ago, being a nail tech would have been so different.
Yeah.
It would have been, maybe not easier, but... yeah, easier in a way, because your focus was your clients, and that was it.
Yeah, the amount of times I have said to myself in my head, I don't have to do this social media side of things. I could just do my clients and that be it.
Yeah.
And I have thought about it a few times where I've been like, whoa, that would honestly be just so much more calming in general day-to-day life. But because I enjoy the content side of it, and because I actually do want to do things, like if it ever led to brands, I'd always think, what if I regretted it?
Yeah.
What if I regretted giving up? And that will always be the one thing that keeps pushing me. But I think that's why then we make these little changes, because our brains need a change, or it's just going to implode.
Yeah, you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Like, you had a content change. I had an hours and wage change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like you change little aspects of your job to suit what your brain and your mental capacity can take at the time.
Yeah, definitely, because everything changes all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's never going to stay the same.
No. So I think it'd be good to talk about both of our perspectives, or maybe not like your perspective now, but you know, when you were going through your time where you were comparing a lot. So how does it make you feel then when you see, you're on Instagram and you see Russian manicures, perfect nails, like, what's your instant thoughts when you see stuff like that?
If I'm being completely honest, it makes me angry.
Yeah.
Because it frustrates me that they're showing an image that is perfect, and it's only one image.
Yeah.
It's, if you look at a lot, I'm not calling anybody out by any means,
no,
but if you look at a lot of these nail techs that are doing these Russian manicures, which is becoming a much bigger thing in the UK at the moment, if you look at their content, you can tell that they're using the same, like, three or four hands.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. That the reason for that is because that client's nails are easy to work on.
It's and good for content.
They're choosing to show you that. Like, I am telling you right now, like, there is no way on this earth that everyone's nails are capable of having a Russian manicure.
I know.
There is no, you, it's not possible.
No.
Like, it's not. You, no matter what you tell me, you cannot do a Russian manicure on everybody.
Yeah.
You can't achieve that look. And I don't think that we should be trying to achieve it either.
No. Because it puts unrealistic expectations onto us. And I think as well, I've seen a creator recently, and it's almost like she doesn't mean to do it, but she bashes nail techs now. Yeah. She will put a picture up of what is a beautiful builder gel manicure, may I say, with a gel colour, and she'll put it up and go, I can't believe I used to think this was a decent, high-quality set of nails, because now my nails look like this because I do Russian manicure. And it's like, hun, my sets look like that now, so what you're saying in that video is, if I don't do Russian manicure or training that, my work's not good enough.
I know, it makes me,
and I don't want to train in Russian manicure. It makes you feel like you have to, but it's like, I don't want to, and I'm not going to. Like, and I think when we look at the nail tech side of things, all right, all these nail techs might be like, wow, she does Russian manicure. If I said to half my clients tomorrow, oh, I'm doing Russian manicure, they'd all be like, oh my god, what's this now?
Yeah.
Like, I actually think we're putting too much on clients as nail techs. Mm-hmm. Half of them only just understand what builder gel is. I'm still trying to explain to them what hard gel is right now. Yeah. I'm not adding another bloody service on. No way. And I think, I'm happy doing what I'm doing.
And they'd be like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I don't care. Plus,
and as well, all these Russian manicure videos that you're talking about, you're not telling me that they do that in an hour and a half normal client gap. They're filming that. No, they're saying to their friend who's got perfect nail beds, come over to my house tonight, keep 5 hours free, and we're going to do content, and everything has to be perfect. And no, I'm not doing it.
No. I have some clients, like, nail beds that I think, like, I wish I could sit them down in front of a Russian manicurist and see what they
would do. I think half of it is for content.
Yeah,
I really do. I think they're pretending that
this is... Which is fine. Yeah. Like, it is what it is, but I don't think... Sorry, I interrupted you.
I don't think
they're thinking about the impact that that has on people and how, like, how that can really damage somebody and make them feel shit about their work and make them feel like they're worthless. Yeah. Like, all it takes from them is to just show a realistic set of nails.
That is just what I was going to say. I was just going to say, it's not against people who are doing Russian. In no way, shape or form. You do what you want to do. It is when there's certain people that put content up that make us nail techs that aren't offering it, us nail techs that don't want to offer it, feel like you say, our work is not, it's not worthy of anything because we don't offer that service. If you want to do Russian manicure and you want to post it all over your social media and you want to do tutorials on it, that's great, but you don't have to compare it to work that looks like every other nail tech's work on social media, because that's when you're dragging other people down. That's when you're making us as normal nail techs that don't offer Russian manicure think, well, if I'm not offering that, I'm not as good as that person. Yeah. They're better than me. And it's the competition. Yeah. That's when it brings it in. That's what it feels like. Russian manicure versus builder gel now. Yeah. And it's like, why are we adding something else negative? Why can't we all just do what we want to do and be happy with that?
I know. It's sad. It makes me feel like shit. Like, I'll be honest. Like, I've been thinking, I think recently it's been really making me feel like I'm over analyzing my work and making me feel like my work isn't good enough and that, like, are my clients actually happy with what I'm giving them?
Because then if they're seeing all these Russian manicures on like Instagram, or whatever,
is that what they're expecting from me? Because I hope not.
I know.
But another thing that I like, another way that I try and look at it is thinking about the type of client base that you have and the type of client, like, so for instance, the area that I live in, Lancaster, it's not exactly an affluent area. No. There's not a lot of people there that have a lot of money, that have a lot of expendable income. It's mainly working class, as I would say here is as well. Would you?
I'd say so,
I'm not bashing on your area.
Leave Buckeaton alone.
But you know, there's some people, like, you don't know where these people live. Yeah. You don't know the areas that they are living in. You know, they could be living in a very affluent area where people have got a lot of expendable income and they can afford to pay for a Russian manicure. Because a Russian manicure you have to charge more for it because it takes a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't do a Russian manicure in the time that I have with my clients.
No way. You couldn't do a Russian manicure in an hour and a half, and if you did, it wouldn't be a good one.
No.
And this is what I mean. It's like, how are we meant to meet these expectations then? Like, and you know what? If you're in an area and you've got a client and they come to you and they're like, I want a Russian manicure, because obviously it's more detailed, or I can't really say I've looked into it too much, so I don't know 1,000% what it is, but I know it's more intricate than a normal set of nails. If you've got a client that says, I want this experience of the Russian manicure, fair enough. Yeah. But if you're a nail tech and you don't want to offer it, like, for example, Liv's Nails, what you've got on now, that's just builder gel, isn't it? Like, there's no Russian manicure with that.
No.
I have sat for the past couple of hours. I even said to you, didn't I, that I said I can't stop staring at her nails. They're so beautiful. Gorgeous. Like, shout out to Lauren, didn't you? Shout out to Lauren. I have stared at Liv's Nails through this whole basically day thinking, they're so good. They're not Russian manicure.
No.
They're builder gel with nail art. And that's what Liv wanted. That's what Liv got. And me, as an outsider, I don't know what things she's got. They are beautiful. They're stunning. And that is what majority, let's say 80% of clients, for example, that is all they're wanting. Yeah. They want to come to you. They want healthy nails. They want them to be applied properly. They want, you know, the retention to be pretty decent. And they want them to look cute.
Yeah.
But then if you're a nail tech that thinks, actually, I want to offer Russian manicure, I want to give that extra luxurious treatment, then you advertise to those kind of clients. Yeah. But what we're trying to say is, like, if you're a nail tech and you just want to do builder gel, you want to do hard gel, you want to do gel colour, go for it. Like, there's no one, you know, saying, do Russian manicure, or make these absolutely 10 out of 10 perfect every time, because no set of nails is 10 out of 10 perfect either.
No.
Like, that's another thing, is forget the Russian manicure side of it. Just looking on Instagram, you go on your explore page, there's 20 in the first little bit before you even scroll that is nail set after nail set, that every single line's perfect. And I had a girl come not long ago for one of my day workshops, and she was showing me my pictures on thing, and she was like, how did you do that French there? She went, that is perfect. When I did that French and I came home, I thought, could have done that better. But she was like, I actually aim to do my nails as good as that. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, what? Do you reckon you're going to be able to hear that on this?
No.
It's my energy thing. I've used my energy for a day.
It's all right. No, okay, cool. Fine.
Yeah, like there, she was saying, I want mine to be as perfect as that. She said, every single French on that is perfect. Whereas I was like, I think that about other people.
Yeah.
And I said to her, someone will think that about your work, even though you don't think it. And I think it's just this constant, you see, it's like, you know, when we were talking about our houses, and you were like, your house is so clean. And I was like, no, it's not. To an outsider, it is. But because I live in it, and I see all these little cracks, and, you know, that needs cleaning, that needs cleaning, you are overanalyzing it. Because I can say, as a nail tech, I very rarely look at the entire set of nails. I look at each nail one by one by one. And then I'm picking out what's wrong with each of those nails while I'm doing it. And I'm like, right, try and get that perfect, try and get that. I actually said to one of my clients the other day, sorry, can I just see all 10 nails together? Because I don't ever look at all 10 nails. And when you look at it, all 10 nails together, stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning.
That's what I've trained myself, actually. It's interesting you say that, because I've trained myself to look, like, take a step back.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously as nail techs, we're constantly, like, up close and personal with the nails. Just take a step back, and that change in perspective can change everything.
Guys, take a step back from everything.
Yeah.
Take a step back from the nails, take a step back from content, and just look at what you've done. Because if you did that with your content, Liv, if you got your TikTok and your Instagram up, and you pretended it wasn't yours, you pretended it was me, you would be like, you go, girl. You would be like, you have absolutely smashed it.
Yeah,
so, maybe. Like, because you're sat at home looking at the likes, or looking at the reach, and looking at this, you're seeing all these individual things, whereas to an outsider looking at you, everyone's like, she's got it figured out. Yeah. And it's the same thing for each aspect sometimes of doing nails. And like we say, it can make someone not want to do it anymore. And I think that's why we both take this kind of content seriously, and why we obviously wanted to start this. It's because no one should feel like a passion they have is not worth the mental strain it brings.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
We do this because we're creative people. Yeah. Like, all we want to do is paint nails, and then social media makes us feel bad for doing that. It's like, oh my God, let me just paint this 3D worm on this nail, let me be happy. Like, should I ask some questions that we've got about this subject? So how do you feel your creativity is impacted by feeling the pressure of your work looking perfect online? How does it impact you creatively?
Oh,
I know, I thought that was quite a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. I think I don't think that so maybe it does affect me, actually, because I think, like, when I create a set of nails that is from my own brain, most of the time I am in love with them, and I am, like, fully, wholly obsessed with them.
It's when your client brings in the perfect nail in spur, and you look at that picture and you think, oh my God. And so if it doesn't look exactly like a copy and paste, you are like, what point? There's no point me even trying. I can't make it that perfect. Like, from the get-go, you're thinking you're not as good as that other person.
Yeah, as soon as you see the picture. And especially now as well, with, like, these fucking AI pictures of nails.
Don't get me wrong. We love ChatGPT over here. We love it, don't we? We love ChatGPT. We're always like, oh, what question should I ask? I'm like, I'll ChatGPT. Yeah, let's ChatGPT. It's brilliant, but AI for nails.
They're not in it. I hate it. So yeah, I think, like, you instantly, you know, you get shown a picture of a set of nails, and straight away the expectations are so much higher, because, like, is that client going to be disappointed if I accidentally don't get that flower perfectly right? Or are they going to be like, annoyed that, like, maybe I can't do the same style of French tip that picture is, because their nail beds aren't right for it. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, I've struggled with that in the past, but I think I've learned to really, like, if a client, for instance, brings me a picture, I always say to them, it's not going to look exactly like that.
Yeah.
And I also have a little chat with them, and I'm like, do you mind if I change this, or do you mind if I tweak that?
And most of the time, they're totally happy with that.
Most of the time they're like, yeah, put your own spin on it. Yeah. Like, I'd love that. Mm. Like,
their expectations aren't as high as ours. No. Ours are over 100% expectations. Yeah. Ours are like 250. Yeah. The clients are at a solid 70.
Yeah.
So then when you show them it and you're like, there you go, what do you think? They're just like, oh my God. Yeah. And you're like, they hate. Yeah. They're pretending. They're going to leave here and send a picture to the mates and be like, what the hell is on my nails?
They're never going to come back.
Yeah, literally. But, like, I actually do think clients just want... They want... Like, it's literally as simple as that. They want pretty... And that's how I've really changed my mindset of it, is these clients are coming for a nice chat. Like what we said in the fourth episode, mate?
Building the client base.
Building the client base episode. We touched on the... what did we touch on? I've lost my train of thought. It's gone. I can't think about two things at once.
Where's it gone?
It's gone. She's left.
That's she's it. Left the chat. It's gone out of my head as well. Control A.
Control A. Anyway, we spoke about something in there that I can't remember. This is why I made you change from talking on Instagram voice notes to WhatsApp, because you can pause and go back to listen to what you were saying.
Yeah.
And this is just completely gone.
My sister said to me yesterday, actually, she was like, I like voice notes, but I always lose my train of thought. And I was like, oh, girly, you need to go on WhatsApp.
Yeah, I'll show you how to do it. Because it's the pressure of, like, I know we can't just keep can't pause this and go back and listen. So I'm like, it needs to be constant chatting and it needs to be entertaining and make sense. And now I'm like, it's completely gone. But
we'll move on.
But move on to the next thing. It might come back to me. Oh, I bet, you know what, I'll listen back and I'll be like, I had a really good point to make there.
It might come back to you as we're talking. How do you find, so back to like social media, how do you find, like, in terms of like your actual work, like your art, do you find that you compare your art a lot to others, or does that side of things not bother you?
It used to bother me.
Yeah.
And I used to look a lot at it and be like, oh my God, like, it's not the same as that person's, and it's not perfect, and it's I would always go into it so negatively. And if I'm being completely honest, now I just honestly wing it. Like, if a client brings me a set of nails as inspo, I just think, you know what, I'll do my best.
Yeah.
And my best is still good enough. It might not be perfect, because guess what, I haven't just got this one client that I'm sat here getting content with for 5 hours. I've got five clients in today. And do I wish I could sit and do every set of nails for 5 hours to make them perfect? Yeah, but guess what, in 3 weeks it's going to be taken off anyway. Like, it's not the end of the world. And I think your clients, they know what to expect from you. Like, they know. And I say this to people when they're starting with new clients as well, is if you've posted your work on Instagram, they're booking in with you knowing what you're already capable of. They're booking in seeing, okay, she can do this, this and that, great. They won't book in with you if they saw a set of nails and thought, So every client that books in with you has already seen your work and already thinks you're good enough, but yet we still think we're not. We need to turn the narrative of it being like, our clients are lucky to come to us.
Yeah.
Instead of it being, we're so lucky to have these clients, I hope they choose me. No.
No.
They're lucky that I've had space for them. Like, that's not me being cocky. I'm saying we need to change our mindsets to. We're the ones in charge, and we're the ones that are doing this service, and probably actually more than likely, this is what I was going to say. Oh my God, she's back. I'm back. Hello.
She's joined the chat.
Yeah, she's here. Is, you know, like all these like salons down the road, and like the typical high street shops, they have Instagrams, and I go on there, or I have clients that come to me from there, and seeing the quality of their work that's rushed and very quick, I'm like, I'm comparing myself to all these perfect people on Instagram. No. I should be comparing myself to the nail techs down the road from it in those salons that are rushing and don't care and have cut the client multiple times, because that's who I should be comparing myself to. And if I compare myself to that, my God, like, the quality and difference is... And that's what our clients are comparing to, not these amazing nail techs online. Like,
the chances that your clients are seeing those perfect sets of nails are extremely low. If they've come across your page, the chances of them seeing those Russian manicures and those like perfect, you know, clean girl aesthetic nails are very low. Like, they're probably not seeing them, and even if they do, that's not what they want.
But
they've
I think yeah, it's because that content that they're making with those Russian manicures isn't, it's that they're not creating that content aiming it at clients, they're aiming it at us as nail techs.
Yeah.
Buy my course, book this Russian manicure course.
Yeah,
like,
so
it
right.
is so aimed at us. It's never aimed at the clients. They don't care about the clients, really. It's majority of the ones that I've seen anyway have been to nail techs, and it's almost like it's worded in such a,
it's a degrading way.
Yeah, like really, like
condescending.
That's the one. It's so condescending to us because it makes me feel like I'm a child, like I'm doing something wrong and I should be doing what they're doing, or it's not good enough.
And for some reason, I don't know why, but there is such a... The price of Russian manicure courses, like the price of them, like what these women are charging, is astronomical compared to how much you would charge somebody to teach them to just do a regular manicure.
Because it's... that's probably their income, and that's why when I created my workshops and like how you're creating your, the stuff you're creating, I'm not sure how much you
membership,
want me to say, your membership, it is simply because like me and you, we're not in it to make people feel like if you don't do my course, you're doing something wrong. Because let's be honest, you can go on as many courses as you want, they're not going to magically change anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, you, these people, that the ones that I've seen anyway, obviously I'm not saying it's all nail technicians, but the ones that have come across my feed, they are there making these videos making you feel bad about being a nail technician because they want your money, because they want you to think, if I go on this course, it's going to fix everything, I'm going to be like them, so I'll pay hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds to go on this course and it'll fix it.
Yeah.
And that's not it, but that's what they're doing, is they're trying to kid you into thinking if they buy my course they'll think everything works out. But no, that's
and
why...
they do it to me. I'm like, oh, should should I go for a manicure?
Yeah, I'm like, do I need to book a course? Like, what's going on? But that's why we've done ours the way we have, because it's not a ridiculous amount of money.
And it's attainable for a lot of people. It's like it's realistic.
Yeah.
Because I think that I don't want to make this whole episode just about Russian manicures, and that's not what it's about, but the whole Russian manicure movement, we'll call it
that.
Yeah,
let's call it that. That's what
you've coined the term.
Now. Yeah. That's it. We need, what's it called? You need to,
copyright it.
Yeah, copyright it.
TM.
Trademarked.
I think the whole movement is unrealistic.
Yes.
It's unattainable. It's not achievable for the average person.
No.
And I don't think it needs to be achievable either.
No.
I think that if that's what you want to do, like, that's fair enough, and that's the service you want to provide, I think that's amazing. But I think, like, what you keep touching on, and the problem that I have with it, is the comparisons that they make to other people, and that what they're trying to say is that what they're doing is better than everybody else, you should be doing, and that's not true. Like, what you're doing is good enough. Like, if you are putting everything into a set of nails, like, you're doing your best, you're creating a good service for your client, that's all that matters. And I want, like, I know that so many of you will be feeling the same way as I've been feeling recently, and I just need you to know that it's like, you don't need to feel that way. Like, just take a step back and realize, you know, that your work is your best, and that is good enough.
And if you're starting to feel that way again, you need to take a step back from social media, because I do it, and I'm pretty sure you do it. You'll start on a video, you'll be scrolling on your TikTok, having a good time in your little TikTok world, and you'll come up with a nail tech who's, say, for example, doing the Russian manicure. You'll click on her profile, you'll click on her other videos that are basically saying, if you don't do Russian manicures, you know, it's not a good thing. And then you'll click on a link and, oh, it's a course. And then you, all of a sudden, then you're looking
on
TikTok.
You're in a rabbit hole.
Yeah, you're in a rabbit hole of just self-doubt, being self-critical, being horrible to yourself, when your work is so good anyway. And it's like, that's what it does. And I always find myself, I have a new rule that if I almost buy something on TikTok, or if I almost feel really bad to the point where I'm like literally sat there almost crying because I'm like, I'm rubbish at my job, I'll say to myself, take an hour off your phone.
Yeah.
Put it down and take an hour off your phone. And I will bet you any money, and it happens to me all the time, after that hour's up, I am literally like, what were I thinking? I know. Best nail tech in world.
Yeah. you don't think the same way.
No, you don't, because your brain instantly is like, I need to fix this now. Yeah. Now. And you know what? Again, to these girls that are doing Russian manicures, that is great, but it's when people make, like what you said, if you're not doing what I'm doing, it's not as I'm better than you sort of thing.
It's the same. It's funny because, like, if you flip it to away from Russian manicures and into nail art, so if you see it from this perspective of, like, say, like, you know, obviously you do a lot of, like, jazzy fun nail art, and there's a girl that doesn't do nail art at all, and she's, like, comparing herself to you and thinking, I should be doing nail art, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. What if, like, I'm, like, closing a lot of clients off because I'm not offering nail art? You're like, when you see it from that way, the girls that are doing nail art aren't telling anybody else that they should be doing nail art.
I don't sit there and I'm like, you need to go do this 3D thing, or you need to do that.
Why is it the case with these rush, like, I don't get it. I don't get why.
I think some of them think they're helping because they think it's this new innovative
innovative.
That's the one.
The thing is it's not new. It's
no,
just
but
new
they're
the
thinking
UK.
They are helping people by saying this is what you need to do now because it's better. No. I'm gonna stick to builder gel, and I like that, and that's what I want to be really good at, and that's the end of it. And I will continue working on my craft, continue changing things here and there until I am just so confident with it, because I don't know about anybody else, but that's my aim now. I can't be bothered with this anymore. I really can't. I just think, I want to get to the point where I have a good client base with my builder gel and I'm doing the art. And if my clients are happy, guess what? I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm honestly, I don't have time for this social media stuff anymore. And I think if you are about to book a course, whether it's Russian manicure, a nail art course, whatever, and that person is making you feel like, let's be honest, a course should be, what do you already do and how can we improve you? Yeah. Not, you need to be that person over there and you need to start offering this. They shouldn't want to change anything about you. They should only ever want to improve you already. Definitely. And if you're on a course where they're saying, no, actually, you're not going to do that, sack it off.
Yeah.
Sack it off.
Get gone.
Yeah, because it's just ridiculous.
Do you know what? Another thought just popped into my head that pisses me right off.
Go on.
It's the gatekeeping.
Yeah.
Why are you not showing me how to do a Russian manicure in this video?
Yeah.
Just show me how to do it.
Yeah.
Show me what the actual.
Because they want you to buy the course.
Yeah, I know.
That's why.
But it pisses me off.
Yeah.
It's like you're showing this perfect, beautiful, beautiful manicure. Like, you cannot deny that the nails look fucking stunning.
Yeah.
Like, they're so gorgeous. But you're showing me this beautiful set of nails. And then basically you're not helping me achieve it unless I give you loads of money.
But, like, say for example,
you've got to make money, obviously, but, like,
yeah. But say for example you had a client come in, right, and, you know, it's one of the clients that's got like bitten skin around the nails. Yeah. The nails are really sore. They might have ski slope nails. You're not really going to be able to achieve what that person's put on TikTok of those, like I say, non-bitten skin, no ski slope nails, perfect nail beds. They're never going to look identical, like what you said earlier. Mm-hmm. They're not going to look identical, but guess what? You as the nail tech who's doing them on real nails that are actually real and nothing to be ashamed of, you're going to look at that, compare it to the one you saw on social media, and because they're not exactly the same, you're going to think it's you that's done something wrong, and it's not you. It's because you're a real nail tech who's doing them on real nails.
But the thing is what I would actually really love to know is if it's actually achievable to do a Russian manicure on a set of nails like that. You know, like you said, where it's like they're really badly bitten or, you know, whatever it may be, like any imperfections there are, is it actually achievable and attainable to do that? And do these Russian manicure nail techs have people in their chairs that come to them with nails like that? Because I have a lot of clients that struggle with picking their skin.
Yeah.
A lot of clients.
And again, like we're saying, if that is the case, we're not bashing Russian manicure techs, but show that.
Yeah.
Show us how would you handle that then, a Russian manicure on that kind of thing. And then if somebody is wanting to look into Russian manicure and do it, they can see what's achievable as in that side of it. But when it's constantly perfection, that's when it's not achievable.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. In a way. Yeah, it's the constant perfection that's hard
it
to
is.
And it makes me laugh because I know we keep going on about the Russian manicurist, but and I'm not like it's
no, but that's the trend at the minute. That's what this episode's about. It's about
what's triggered me to feel the way that I'm feeling. So that's I think that's why. But what what makes me laugh is that they'll show like this set of nails. They'll be like, "Oh, this client came to me and she like her nails were in a state," and I'm like, "What? Where's the state?
Where?
Where
is she?
What was difficult about that? Because let me tell you, I've seen some nails in some states and they're not in a state.
No,
like they're absolutely fine.
Yeah,
I think they like making out that they're trying to be realistic when in reality they're really not.
Yeah,
and I think it's sad.
So, do you think then that do you follow a lot of big nail techs then?
No, not really.
No, because I find that that's what I do. You know, like how we'll be talking about someone and I'll be like, oh, they're following me. Let me follow them back. And there's been a few times where I've thought, I feel a bit bad that I'm not following these people back. But that is my way of coping with it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it on my feed.
Yeah.
I don't want to see my few page filled with, because if I'm all these amazing nail techs, it's honestly brilliant and it's so inspiring. But me, in the way my mental health works, is I can't see that every day.
You can't always. Yeah. No. I'm exactly the same. Like we all know TikTok's algorithm is really sensitive.
She's a sensitive girlie.
She is very sensitive.
Yeah.
So if I'm ever feeling like down, like I am at the moment, I try my best to not watch nail content. I'll go on my friends and I'll scroll through that sometimes because seeing like Lauren's videos and your videos and Sophie's videos, Sophie's Cute Nails, like all of them, like that, all of that content uplifts me and makes me feel good. But on like my FYP, if a set of like nails pops up, I'm like, I need like, this needs to be comedic relief right now.
Because like the reason you follow like Lauren and you like watching Lauren's content and you like watching Sophie's content is because in their content they're so real.
Yeah.
Lauren will say she does what her nail fails, and then Sophie does like, oh, I've been struggling a little bit with this recently. It's like when you have nail techs that are just honest.
Yeah.
People can relate to that, and people want relatability these days. I don't want to see influencers. I can't relate to them. No. I don't want to be seeing all that sort of stuff you're doing.
Okay, so then why do you think that? So do you, because from my point of view and the people that I've spoken to in the industry, they feel very much the same way as you do about this topic. How do you think then that most of the engagement and views that these nail techs are getting is from the general public and not other nail techs?
See, I think it's quite a broad thing, because I definitely think that I feel like US nail techs, that's a totally different like
talking about UK. Yeah.
I think it's people being I feel like it's a bit of both. It's it's nail techs that have bought into that idea. I think a lot of their viewers are nail techs that feel like they have to be perfect and are constantly striving and will never feel good enough in themselves, which makes me sad. I also think there's a side of it that it is general public and people just like being nosy. Like my clients say all the time, they watch my videos even though they're not nail techs because they enjoy it, and that's the like nosy side of it. And there's like I do the exact same thing. I think the reason all these videos do well is maybe they know that they're kind of rage baiting a little bit.
Yeah,
as
maybe.
Well. Like, I think it's probably like, if you're telling me that my work's not good enough, someone might go in the comments, fall for that, and be like, well, I think my work, and then you're pushing their viewers and stuff.
Yeah, that's another thing that we should talk about is rage baiting, because that's awful.
That is, it's just ridiculous.
It's horrendous.
It's like, I don't know, I almost want to, like, go back to me a couple of months ago that was so warped up in this social media world and give myself a shake and be like, it's not real.
Yeah.
And I think as soon as people realise, even if you've got the most perfect nails that come up and they are beautiful, stunning, amazing, like, it's probably not real. Like, at some point, they've probably spent hours and hours on them, or, you know, it's their own nails and they're able to do it. Like, there's going to be a reason as to why they're that perfect, whether it's timing, whether it's really expensive products, whether it's just, you know, it can be talent as well, 1,000%. But you have got to think, there's a reason why they look like that.
And it's like, even when you see, like, these nail art videos, and I've been very guilty of this myself, I'm not showing you the amount of times I've wiped a design off and done it again. I'm showing you the last attempt where I've got it right. I am editing out all of the trial and error, because you feel like people don't want to see that. And I think there needs to be a change there. And I think I think it's happening.
I can see it happening.
I can see, I don't know about how you feel about this, but I can see a massive divide happening.
Mm.
I can see, like, the honest and real content is really, like, it's dividing. Yes. Do you know what I mean? There's like the real side, and then there's the unattainable, unrealistic side.
But I think that is very true for any aspect of social media.
Yeah,
if you're a hairdresser, for example, there's probably hair talk. Like, I never see it, but I'm not in it.
I see it. I love watching the consultation videos.
But that's what I mean, though. So there's going to probably be a divide in the hairdresser side of it as well.
Shit, sorry.
It's all right. Where it's like, was that what it was?
Yeah, I
won't have that problem. I could hug it and it still wouldn't touch it.
Yeah, go on.
But, yeah, like, I think even in the hairdresser world, any world, hairdresser world, style, clothes world, home
style, like, clothes.
You know what I mean? Fashion. That's the one. It's a good job you're here. You're like my own personal thesaurus. But it is, like, even with the fashion side, home side, the amount of times I've compared my house, thinking, like, when I were on the podcast, if you're on YouTube, you can see me error behind this door, and what did I say to you? I went, oh, you can see my error, but guess what, guys, I dry my clothes. I hold my hands up,
deal.
I do washing, like, you know what I mean? But that's what it is. And it's like, okay, I could have taken 5 minutes to hide that and pretend like I don't do washing, and my house is always perfect, but that's not real.
Yeah, I think we've almost been, like, trained to try and show everything as perfectly as we can. Like, my house is not perfect. Like, the house that I live in is my childhood home, and like, over the years it's had work done to it, but it's not anywhere near, like, where I want it to be and how I want it to look. And I've really, like, gotten in my head about that, with even, like, posting, like, pictures on social media. You, like, on my nail page, I'm like, oh my god, what if that's in the background and people see, like, you know, that looks messy, or my floor's not, like, you know, like, done. I've not got nice laminate flooring and stuff like that. And even, like, down to, like, my clients coming into my house and me not feeling like everything's perfect. And I think, like, you've just got to switch your mindset and believe that not everyone's life is perfect. Like, what you're seeing isn't how everybody lives every day. It's not possible to live that way.
And someone coming into your house and maybe seeing that might think, oh good, it makes me feel better that
more
mine's a tip at home as well. Like, it's like little things here and there where they think, oh, you know what, her hair is out. Because I have this thing about not having my hair out when my clients are here, but I'm also like, I need to do my washing, so I'll do my washing overnight because I don't want them seeing it. And Oliver even said to me, Shannon, people are aware you're gonna have to do your washing. Like, come on, love. And it's like, yeah, but even little things like that where it's,
and the thing is as well, is like, what you're thinking about in your head that people are going to notice. So, like, this goes for everything.
Mm-hmm.
What you're thinking in your head that you think people are going to look at, people aren't looking at.
No.
Like, you could put your error up in your living room in the middle of the room, and I can guarantee you 90% of your clients will not even look at it. They won't even notice it.
Because they've probably got theirs up at home as well.
Exactly. Yeah. They just won't even see it.
Mm.
They just won't. And it's the same with, like, I did a set of nails not yesterday, the day before. Anyway, that's irrelevant.
Thanks for letting us know, though.
I did a set of nails on Wednesday, the
27th of December 2012.
And it was 5-point stars.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just the outline. Yeah. I know. It was on my friend, so it was, like, fine.
Yeah.
But one of them was, like, not perfect. Like, when I looked at it, I didn't notice really when I was doing it, but when I looked at them afterwards, I was like, oh, she wonky. And I was like, I don't know whether I should post these on social media. And then I thought, people are not going to notice that. Yeah. They're not going to care.
I have been so much more, like, strict with myself on social media, yeah. As in, like, if it's blurry, I'm like, no, can't post that there, and oh, what's that tiny little thing there, and yeah. Oh, I can't do that. And it's literally like, Shan, you're gonna have no content to post.
I know, because it's impossible to make everything perfect and yeah. aesthetically pleasing.
But it's not even just the nail art side of things and the prepping that's unrealistic to look at on social media and why we wanted to do this one. It's even just like nail techs being afraid to say their clients come back for nail fixes and their attention isn't always perfect. Like, this is something that I'm just like, I remember when I first started doing nails, and this is before I had any nail friends and there were no podcasts out there, I remember just thinking to myself, I just need someone to tell me that, like, they also have clients coming back Aww. With no nails, and because I really thought it wasn't normal. I was yeah. like, I'm on my own with this, like, I'm such a bad nail tech. But like, so someone might be listening to this podcast that needs to hear, guess what, I have clients that come back with not all yeah. 10 nails. I have clients that come back with chips, breaks, like some of my clients chew off all their nails, yeah. like clients will leave and I think, did they actually like them? Mm-hmm. Like, all these things that we all worry about and everyone's so scared to say on social media, I couldn't care less anymore. I'm saying it, like, no nail tech is perfect with retention, fixes, no. breakages, anything like that.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. I actually did a video recently talking about that, mm-hmm. and the amount of comments that I got yeah. that was like, I needed to hear this yeah. today. Like, I needed, like, I'm so glad this came up on my page because I yeah. needed to hear it. And it's the friend that I did the star nails on that I yeah. just talked about, she, for as long as she's been, I think I've known her for about, must be like coming up to a year and a half, something like that, not one single time has she come back to me with a full set of nails on.
Yeah.
Not one single time. And that is for many different reasons. Mm. You don't know the reasons that people struggle with retention.
No.
You know, it could be a health condition. It could be that their nails are just genetically weak.
Yeah.
It could be that their nails are really oily. There's so many different reasons. Mm-hmm. And I filmed a consultation of that appointment. It'll be posted now, but I've not posted it yet. But I was like, usually I would show, like, I would just grab a hand, show the before quickly, and then move on to the next yeah. step. Whereas this time I actually, like, took every finger and showed, like, the bits that were lifting and the fact that she had one missing, and because yeah. like, pretty much every finger on her every nail
yeah.
was lifted, like, she didn't have, like, hardly any of them were attached. Mm. So I actually went through and, like, showed it, and I'm really trying to make more of a conscious effort to show those things, because I don't want people to think that I've got my shit together and that I'm doing everything right, because I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
I think as well, though, the amount of nail techs that will have seen that, like, will see that,
yeah.
that probably think, I'm so happy she's uploaded
I'm
that.
So relieved,
I'm
yeah.
I'm so happy. I think Sophie, you know, Sophie that we're talking about, Sophie's cute nails.
Yeah.
She uploaded...
I feel like we mention her every episode.
Literally. She should just sit in the middle of us. Like, have a microphone.
She would love that.
Yeah, she would. She would just be like, hey, guys. But she filmed a video, and it was like... I think it was just maybe one nail on her client. I can't remember. It was a bit of time ago now. And she said, oh, we had one missing. And I was like, wow, Sophie, that's yeah. happened to Sophie. And then I was like, Shannon, it happens to
of
everyone.
Of course it happens to Sophie. Yeah, it happens,
like,
to everybody.
Yeah, it happens to everybody. And it's like, because it's so normal. And I think as well, we also need to be very aware that maybe our attention isn't that good because we are actually using brands that are HEMA-free.
Yeah,
we're all getting used to HEMA-free. Yeah. And we're choosing to do that because... our client's health comes first, yeah. and we are choosing that. Like,
and that's another reason that I'm choosing to not do Russian manicures, because not only do I believe that it's unattainable and unachievable, I actually believe that it's really unhealthy and that it should not be a practice that is performed.
See, I haven't really looked into it.
It's a lot of what, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I understand of it and what I was taught about it, because it's something that Sandra, my college tutor, spoke to me about, and she actually showed me a really horrific picture. Oh. I wonder, she's probably still got it actually, so if she does it, still have it, I'll pop it up on the screen. Yeah. I'll ask her for it. And it's a lot of what a Russian manicure is, it's lifting up the proximal nail fold so that you can place product under the proximal nail fold so that it looks like the product is
coming, growing
out of the nail. So like it's literally lifting this bit of skin to put it under there so that when it's like grown out, it doesn't look.
And bearing in mind that is literally there to protect anything going into it.
Yes. If you Google what is the proximal nail fold, because I was sat on my phone the other day and I was like getting myself worked up about this Russian manicure thing. I was really getting myself worked up about it, and I know that it's not something that is necessarily safe to do. Like, if you watch their videos, it's constantly lifting up the proximal nail fold. We've got to get rid of the proximal nail fold. No!
Yeah.
The proximal nail fold is there to protect the matrix.
That's like saying remove your eyelashes.
Yeah!
Because they're there to stop things going into your eyeball for a reason. We are literally made...
Remove your nose hairs.
Yeah! Eyebrows as well. Yeah. And that's there to stop sweat getting into your eyes. Like, these things are here. I think we need to remember.
They're there on purpose.
To protect, it's like your rib cage to protect you, like your lungs. Yeah. Oh, you just take out your rib cage, love, because you know it's literally, it's just, it's silly, isn't it? It really is just silly sometimes. Like, again,
and it's all just, what pisses me off is that it's all just for an aesthetic.
Yeah.
What other purpose is it serving?
Yeah.
There is no other fucking purpose to it than it just looking a little bit better.
Yeah. But then we're guilted into feeling like we need to do that. But that's something I've started adding, not adding, but doing more of and being more confident in, is if my clients are asking for something, like say I have a client that comes in and they want a really, really pointed almond shape short, I am now being more aware, like, no, because guess what? If I take in your sidewalls too much, cracking is going to happen. I actually do want this. They could probably go down the road and a nail tech will do that for them, and it might end up with me losing a client because I don't want to do it. But I'm taking more into account of, no, I need to be aware of your nail health because that's my job. And lifting up the proximal nail fold. I thought it was proximal. I got right excited then.
Proximal.
I was like, I said it right. But like lifting that up to get thing under there.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like I say, I haven't done much research into it, so I don't really know what's going on, but, like, I just think, why are we constantly trying to perfect more things? Like, a simple, beautiful builder gel application with a beautiful apex and a bit of nail art or gel colour looks lovely, so why are we adding more stuff?
And, like, what I don't understand is that, like, if you've got fucking red nails... Everyone knows that those red nails have not grown out of your fucking finger.
Yeah.
Like, so why are we trying to make it look like that?
But that leads into this question, is, do you think social media rewards technical skill or just good marketing? And it's good marketing.
Yeah.
It's not the, they don't care what is actually going to happen to these people's nails.
Nope.
But it looks aesthetic, so we'll push it.
Yep.
And that is real. ChatGPT rounded that up really well there. Well
good
done.
Girl.
Well done.
Round of
she's
applause.
A lady, of course. She is. But it's so true.
Of course she's a lady. God.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. She's smart, so. We're not hating men. We're feminists.
Oh, we should. We're on an hour. Over an hour, so.
Oh.
Do we want to carry on? Or?
Well, I mean, there's a section here.
Do you want to do quickfire?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Okay.
You don't want to do quickfire?
No, because I'm trying to read the questions without not speaking for too long, because there's people listening. What advice would you give to nail techs who feel discouraged by the social media stuff?
I think
that's a good one to take from that.
I think you need to take a step back. Something that I really admire about my friend Lauren is that she is really capable of recognizing when she's feeling overwhelmed on social media, and she'll take 48 hours off.
Yeah.
She'll just come off it and not, I don't know if she doesn't look at it, but she doesn't post on there or anything.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a really admirable thing that she does, and it's something that I would like to do more of, because being able to recognize that in yourself and just take a step back, I think, is really important. So
yeah,
that's the biggest thing, I think. And the biggest and most immediate thing that you can do when you're feeling discouraged or disheartened is to just remove yourself from
it.
Because like you said earlier, you can guarantee that when, even if it's 2 hours, you can guarantee when you come back to it, you're going to have a fresh mind and you're not going to feel as bad about it.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, like from experience, say if I'm sat and I'm really hating a picture I did for my nail art and I'm thinking, right, I need to make some really good content to make myself feel better, or I need to go down a rabbit hole and do loads of research into loads of courses of how I can fix X, Y, Z. And then Oliver will say to me, like, Shani, you're coming to bed. And I will be so mad at myself that I have literally spent all evening doing some, like, researching something or looking into something or whatever it is I'm doing to fix that problem that isn't fixed. It can't be fixed in that evening. But I have gone down a rabbit hole on TikTok and now I actually feel worse when I was only trying to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
And it's done the actual opposite.
Yeah.
But like,
you just counteract
it. Yeah. But with you saying that about, like, Lauren, I think I've become more aware of that now, and that's why now I feel like I have a really good balance, because I have never seen, my business has not failed from me taking a day off social media.
No, I know, that's what I feel like I need somebody, because I can tell myself that, but it doesn't change anything. I feel like I need somebody to, like, to ask me regularly, like, are you all right with, you know, like, do you need to take a step back? Do you need to take a day off?
But, like, we're both really good at communicating that with each other. Like,
yeah,
we'll say
to
each other, I need a day.
Yeah.
And we'll be like, don't you worry, I'll sort out socials, you have a day. And, like, this weekend, I'm going away, so, like, I'm going to be phone off. And, like, that is a part of the reason why I love going, sorry, when I said part of the reason, I instantly thought of that girl with, you know, Tommy Fury and Molly Mae, where she's like, I'm part of the reason.
No.
Have you seen that?
No.
You're not on that side of TikTok.
No.
I really hope someone listening knows that. She's like, oh, she's a weirdo. But anyway, that made me giggle. But like, a part of the reason I like going away to the holiday house is because I get really crappy signal.
Yeah.
So it's all... Thanks. So it's like, I can... There's an excuse.
Yes.
I can't
do
work this weekend because I've got rubbish signal.
Yeah.
But it's not an excuse. I could say that every weekend if I wanted to. I don't need an excuse.
It's just that it's physically harder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's physically harder to pull myself away because we all love our businesses and we all want them to grow, and we do, but it is not worth having the mental load of feeling exhausted.
Yeah.
Because you will burn out.
I think what it comes down to is like... just realizing that social media isn't your bread and butter.
Yeah.
And if it is, then obviously this conversation doesn't doesn't relate to you.
It's not your thing, don't worry.
But if you know if you're a nail tech that works with clients regularly, that's your bread and butter. That's what matters. That's, you know, if your clients are coming back to you and they're happy and they want to keep having their nails done, that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a really good way to probably like round off is from this episode. I know me and Liv got very passionate at one point and we were like
a few points.
But yeah, but again, I just want to reiterate, if you are a nail technician that chooses to do Russian manicure, mate, like that is honestly great, and like well done you for like, you know, wanting to do another skill,
because
it's not upping your skills, it's just doing a different skill.
Yeah.
And we're not bashing people that choose to do it. We are just saying that the people that choose to make others feel bad about the fact they don't do it is our issue. It's not anybody who does that service or anybody that just shows it on social media. It's when you've got the whole, my nails used to look like this and it looks like every other nail tech's work because that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
This episode is just all about the whole things don't look how they seem because they're not. And we just want to make it clear to other people that me and Liv feel probably the same way majority of you listening do, that we are just made to feel bad every time we go on social media, and we're just like kind of a bit fed up of it, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. And remember that you can delete and block.
Yes. Yeah. And if you don't want to follow all these, if you're going on TikTok and you're feeling bad coming off it, then you need to delete some people or like remove it or just
restrict
something.
Their accounts so they don't show up. Like,
because
you don't have to offend anyone or upset anyone. Just restrict them.
Exactly. And if you want to, like Liv says, do your certain amount of clients a day and go to bed on a night, you can do that too.
Yeah,
like that's literally as simple as it needs to be, and social media makes it feel like it isn't, but it honestly really is that simple.
Just
do that.
Ask yourself why you're on there.
What is your why?
Why?
Right, Liv's going a bit bonkers now, guys. It's time to wrap up.
We need to go.
Nail tech spotlight.
Yes. So I chose this week's
Oh yeah, you chose. Okay, great. That's why spotlight. I made that face. I was like, ooh.
I didn't. Shan was like, oh, I can't remember.
Yeah.
I remember, don't you worry.
Yeah.
So my nail tech spotlight this, well, ours, is Fresh Set Kate.
Oh yes, yes.
She is, I've been following her for quite a while now, and I have seen her journey from like literally nothing to where she is now, and I love how she has shown the process. I think that she is, I think she's a really good spotlight for this episode because she's really real and honest, and she shows all of the different sides of being a nail tech, and I just think that the things that she talks about are really relatable, and I really like her.
Yeah.
And I think that her nail art is banging.
Yeah.
And watching somebody, sorry, I don't
know. No, okay.
Watching her, like, having seen her whole process is just like, it's so lovely.
You feel a part of it, don't you, when you've seen it. See, I haven't seen her whole process. I don't think I followed her as long as you have, but she's always a name that, you know, you remember.
Yes.
And her nails are stunning.
Yes, they are.
Stunning. And I think it's good to maybe, like, give that spotlight to her, because if someone is feeling a bit rubbish and they want to see more of the realities, they can go to her page from this episode and then find that. And I think, obviously, we've mentioned lots of other nail techs that we follow that make us feel better about ourselves, but, like, it's nice to follow a relatable person that you've seen the process, and then obviously now she's very successful and she's doing a thing. And I think, yeah, she was a very good one to pick for this one.
Yes, she's lovely. I like her
good.
A lot.
Me too.
And yeah, go and show her some love.
Show the love, guys.
Go give her a follow.
Show the love.
That's what this spotlight thing is all about, is just showing love.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
A nail tech doesn't need thousands and thousands of followers to deserve love and appreciation on their posts.
Yes.
Like, just try and show love to the smaller creators.
Yeah.
Not even smaller creators, just nail techs in general.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Right. That's it.
We're all done. Our rant.
This was probably a little bit longer than we expected, it was something that we're both passionate about, so I think it's important.
Yeah.
Our
passionate episodes are going to probably be a bit longer, and then we'll do more of the like factual episodes, which are a bit shorter, but we like to mix it up a bit.
You guys
never know what you're going to get.
No.
But no, I think this episode was needed. I feel good about that one, so yeah.
I feel like I've got a lot off my chest.
I feel like you needed that.
Yes, I did.
Really, you feel all fresh.
I feel so much better.
Yeah, and I hopefully someone else listening to this does. Yeah. I think, go on, guys, I needed that.
Anyway, we're going to go. Make sure you follow us on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. Make sure you press the bell on YouTube so you're notified.
Subscribe those. But yeah,
thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, guys,
and we'll see you Friday.
Bye.